ذلك رجع بعيد قد علمنا ما تنقص الأرض منهم وعندنا كتاب حفيظ بل كذبوا بالحق لما جاءهم فهم في أمر مريج أفلم ينظروا إلى السماء فوقهم كيف بنيناها وزيناها وما لها من فروج والأرض مددناها وألقينا فيها رواسي وأنبتنا فيها من كل زوج بهيج تبصرة وذكرى لكل عبد منيب ونزلنا من السماء ماء مباركا فأنبتنا به جنات وحب الحصيد والنخل باسقات لها طلع نضيد رزقا للعباد وأحيينا به بلدة ميتا كذلك الخروج كذبت قبلهم قوم نوح وأصحاب الرس وثمود وعاد وفرعون وإخوان لوط وأصحاب الأيكة وقوم تبع كل كذب الرسل فحق وعيد أفعينا بالخلق الأول بل هم في لبس من خلق جديد ولقد خلقنا الإنسان ونعلم ما توسوس به نفسه ونحن أقرب إليه من حبل الوريد إذ يتلقى المتلقيان عن اليمين وعن الشمال قعيد ما يلفظ من قول إلا لديه رقيب عتيد وجاءت سكرة الموت بالحق ذلك ما كنت منه تحيد ونفخ في الصور ذلك يوم الوعيد وجاءت كل نفس معها سائق وشهيد لقد كنت في غفلة من هذا فكشفنا عنك غطاءك فبصرك اليوم حديد وقال قرينه هذا ما لدي عتيد ألقيا في جهنم كل كفار عنيد مناع للخير معتد مريب الذي جعل مع الله إلها آخر فألقياه في العذاب الشديد قال قرينه ربنا ما أطغيته ولكن كان في ضلال بعيد. قال لا تختصموا لدي وقد قدمت إليكم بالوعيد. ما يبدل القول لدي وما أنا بظلام للعبيد. يوم نقول لجهنم هل امتلأت وتقول هل من مزيد. وأزلفت الجنة للمتقين غير بعيد. هذا ما توعدون هذا ما توعدون هذا ما توعدون لكل أواب حفيظ. من خشي الرحمن بالغيب وجاء بقلب منيب. أدخلوها بسلام ذلك يوم الخلود. لهم ما يشاءون فيها لهم ما يشاءون فيها ولدينا مزيد. وكم أهلكنا قبلهم من قرن هم أشد منهم بطشا. فنقبوا في البلاد هل من محيص. إن في ذلك لذكرى لمن كان له قلب أو ألقى السمع وهو شهيد. ولقد خلقنا السماوات والأرض وما بينهما في ستة أيام وما مسنا من
We're good? Okay. So I'll begin from the beginning, inshallah. Belated congratulations to all of you on the birth of our master, Imam Mahdi, alayhi salam. May Allah hasten his reappearance and may Allah make us amongst the best of his servants, his supporters, his soldiers, and also grant us martyrdom, inshallah, fighting for him. One of the things that I would like to, for me it's a unique honor, and it's something that made me change the subject of my talk to a certain extent. I have the unique opportunity of addressing you, brothers and sisters, after having listened to the leader speak about Imam Mahdi. As you are aware, brothers and sisters have probably read the speech of the leader. He was addressing the Iranian brothers and sisters alive on the birth of the Imam. And it's very rare when one gets a chance to sit, think, and prepare, and then after that hear the leader's take and see big picture what's actually going on, to hear what we should be thinking and should be saying about the Imam, his coming, and then have him talk about current events. Before I get into a little bit of what he said, because he spoke on many issues, he spoke in great detail, and really, brothers and sisters, his words need to be studied. It should be that you and I, when he speaks, it's like looking at a report from a think tank. Strategically, what should we be thinking? That's in the form of the letter or of a speech by our leader. But really, we need to be studying his words, thinking about his words, understanding them, and then seeing, okay, well, the current situation, how does it apply to us if we want to work? And seeing them as that roadmap. So I want to give a little bit of a background about that so we understand the importance of what was said, and then hopefully we can take and get more benefit from his words. And then, brothers and sisters, when you go back to the speech and you ponder over it and you look at what your personal responsibility is, you get more out of it. So I want to share why it is that some people, some scholars, you see them place so much emphasis on the words of the leader, following his direction, seeing him as the current mufassir of the Quran. Why is it that some people pay so much attention to this? For instance, as an example, why was it so necessary that millions of people across the world at the same time as it was 8:30 in Quds recite one specific dua? There's so many duas of Ahlul Bayt. There's so many solutions that Ahlul Bayt have given us. The leader, though, mentioned one specific dua. And then you see even Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, with all of that's on his shoulders, come out and give a video clip and say, brothers and sisters, this dua, let's recite it, and let's recite it all together. Why would some people place that much importance on the words of the leader to that extent? You see, brothers and sisters, what happens is the leader is he's being guided, he's being supported. I want to explain what that means. But you're talking about someone who's carrying the flag of Islam right now. He's the face of the movement. Someone who has a vast body of experience as a follower and a leader. Someone who was there in the beginning when it was just a handful of students with Imam Khomeini, when there was literally nothing to the movement. And then after that to hold various posts. And then after Imam Khomeini went back to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he has been carefully guiding and directing the movement towards the coming of the Imam. So this isn't just an ordinary speech. None of his speeches are ordinary. None of his speeches are ordinary. And then if he talks about current events, then you know, nurun ala nur. His words need to literally be studied. So again, to make myself clear, I am not saying this, that he has a direct relationship with the Imam of the time. No, I'm want to share some principles based on Quran and Sunnah. I want to give you, brothers and sisters, some of the verses to look at later and then see why it is we have to take these words so seriously and then take them as our marching orders. So one of them, this is now what we're taught, Quran, Sunnah. He was granted this position because of his unique abilities and his own personal taqwa. Okay, it wasn't just random. And again, verses of the Quran. So this one is Surah Baqarah and verse number 286. Allah says this in the Quran. What are you and I getting from this? Ayatullah Khamenei, Imam Khamenei, is very capable of carrying out this mission. Why do we say this? Ayat of Quran. Allah says, La yukallifallahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah doesn't place a burden on a soul except to the extent of its ability. When Allah gives you a task, anybody, me, you, mu'mineen, mu'minat, He gives you a task, He puts you in a certain difficulty or a certain challenge, God believes in you.
He doesn't give you more than you can, you're capable of. He gave him the task of carrying the flag of Islam during the ghaibah when the enemy has 1400 years to prepare. So Allah has that confidence in him. Number two, Allah is also guiding him and directing his footsteps. Why do you say that? Ayat of Quran. This is again true about you and I, but if it's true about you and I, it's not true about him. If it's true about every mu'min or mu'mina, then shouldn't it be true about the leader? Again, ayat of Quran, Surah 10, verse number 9. Allah says this, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, truly those who believe, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and do good deeds, يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ, their Lord guides them because of their faith. Allah directs the steps of the believers. He guides the believers. He protects the believers. He gives them the information they need to have. That's with you and I as regular believers. What about the leader of the believers? The person who is trying his best, doing his ijtihad. So there's sometimes when he gives information and he shares certain things, those need to be studied. There's sometimes when he makes prophecies and he says things definitely, definitively, this is going to happen. You and I, again, we take that as our marching orders. We move in that direction. And if you can have an ummah, because again, wait till you hear the practical side of this, but an ummah that would march at the direction of its leader, all the leader would have to do would be to point in a direction. And before we get to the imam of the time, we practice this. He makes it, then we move in that direction. All of our capacities, capabilities, strengths, energies are pushed and focused in that direction. What would that kind of an ummah be like? So I want to give you an example of some of his prophecies. But again, when we say prophecies, I am not saying that this is because of ilmul ghaib. No, his prophecies are based on several things. One of them is a superior understanding of Quran and Sunnah and his ijtihad. A superior understanding. There are Sunnah of Allah discussed in the Quran, mentioned in a hadith, but some people have aware of them and the awareness of them, and they have a comprehensive understanding. Some people don't. But imagine someone who has that comprehensive understanding. He is a student of history. In addition to his mastery over the history of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, to again derive strategies, directions, what we're supposed to do. But in addition to that, the history of mankind. In addition to that, of course, his own personal taqwa and his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just as an example for you and I, again, someone who is selfless, someone who's mukhlis, someone who doesn't see himself, only sees the mission. I'll give you one tiny example. So he gave that wonderful speech. It had been announced. Everybody's waiting. The leader's going to address the nation. It's going to be on the birthday of Imam Mahdi. Everybody's waiting. Everybody's listening. During the speech, he got a statistic wrong. That came to his attention afterwards. He came on in front of the camera. He said, this particular statistic was inaccurate. So you all know. This kind of taqwa, this kind of accuracy, a careful person, someone who's precise in his words, who knows the weight of his words, when to say, what to say, right? Allah guides. He has taqwa, iman. So just as an example now of some of his prophecies. So after that, let's get to the talk. And then after that, inshallah, what our responsibility is. He predicted 24 years ago that the Islamic Republic would go from constantly playing defense to playing offense. He had predicted that. He predicted the result. And again, you and I, we have to go back and look in history. What were people saying? What was the understanding? And then how was he deriving these principles and knowing what would happen? He predicted the results of the second Gulf War in 1990. Remember when America and the Allies invaded Iraq? He already predicted, he predicted the results. He predicted that the south of Lebanon would be liberated. 2000, we all remember when that happened. He predicted the results of the 33-day war. Even people like Qasim Soleimani himself didn't know what was happening. Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah was looking to the leader for direction at that stage. He predicted what was going to happen. In 2015, if you remember, he predicted that the axis of resistance would win in Syria. He could see the movement, the direction of the enemies of mankind, what they were planning to do, how this was going to eventually bring the Palestinians to their knees, bring Tehran to its knees. He saw this, and then he explained what was going to happen. He also predicted, if you remember more recently, that the Saudi Israeli-American aggression in Yemen, that would fail. Right? He predicted these things. Other people would have thought, oh, the Yemeni, the poorest nation on the earth. So, of course, he talked about many important things in that speech, and I encourage brothers and sisters to go back to the speech, review the speech. I just want to talk a little bit about some of the points, and then, inshallah, we talk a little bit about what our personal responsibilities are. One of them, brothers and sisters, if we could pause for a moment to understand the importance of the moment in history that we're in. Okay? Let me share a little bit about this. We have a hadith. This is from our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says this, "Inna lillah, truly for God, fi ayyami dahrikum nafahat." There are times in your lifespan where divine breezes blow. The Prophet says this, "Ala fatarassadu laha." Know this, be on the lookout for those opportunities, those windows. So I told you how careful the leader is in his words. He makes sure to be very accurate, does ihtiyat. What did he say? He said, and I'm paraphrasing, you go back, you look at the Farsi, you look at the Arabic, you look at the English, we'd be hard-pressed in the history of mankind to find a time where mankind felt more need for the Mahdi, for that imam, divine leadership. This coronavirus has created a special opportunity. You and I need to really find out what our responsibility is. This window's closing. It's one more week in. We're 1 week closer to the coronavirus being over and people going back to their ordinary lives. But he's saying this, we'd be hard-pressed in history. When do you ever remember some time like this that mankind together was more ready, felt a need? And of course, this doesn't mean predicting when the imam is going to come. Nobody knows when the imam is going to come. I'm talking about the opportunity that's here at our time and that sense of urgency that hopefully we can have. So we're trying to focus again on our current responsibility, what we need to do, how we can take advantage of this. He spoke in detail about hope. Hope. So, what he explained is that although mankind, right, everybody, is feeling this, either they're able to verbalize this, they're able to express this, they're aware of their feelings, or deep buried in their conscience and in their hearts, there's this need for a savior, Islam has given us a certain advantage. What's that advantage? Hope. Intidhar. Intidhar. Now, he mentioned certain ahadith. You go, brothers and sisters, go back to those ahadith and look at it. But a couple of things that just come to mind about this, and then the definition, and then after that, the responsibility. One of them is that this hope, brothers, is an action. After tawheed is hope. Intidharul faraj, expecting delivery in our personal lives, with this coronavirus, with whatever we're doing, with our responsibility right now. It's effort, it's amal. Look at the hadith. The hadith is this. Afdhalu, from our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says this. Afdhalu a'mali ummati. The best of the actions of my ummah, intidharul faraj. Expecting that delivery, it's going to be okay. The hope is around the corner, of course, and then amal is going to also be what we're supposed to do and what our responsibility is. Not just sitting, we're waiting, looking at the door, expecting God to... No. The other one, brothers and sisters, is that this is worship. This sense of expectancy, knowing that it's going to be okay. The delivery is right around the corner. Hadith now from our Prophet Muhammad again, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Intidharul faraj ibadah. It's an act of worship, this kind of hope that you and I have, this sense of expectancy, right? So it means movement, effort, preparation, right? And knowing that God has the answer right around the corner for us. It does not mean that you and I give God a deadline, that we tell God, you know, you got 10 days. No, astaghfirullah. You and I, we're not, who are we to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Not when it comes to the coming of the imam, to say that right now this is going to happen. Or any, we're dealing with the problem in our personal lives. Beautiful hadith. It says, Inna Allah, truly Allah, la ya'ajalu li'ajalatil ibad. Just because you and I are in a hurry, you think, it's been enough. God does everything at a specific time. He knows what he's doing. You and I, what's our responsibility? So there's one point that you and I have been discussing for a couple of weeks, so I don't want to spend a lot of time on it. He did give us some more talking points, but you and I, inshallah, we can focus on that. And that is our responsibility to talk to the rest of mankind. There were a couple of things that he mentioned in his speech that, again, you and I, we add to that list of things. But brothers and sisters, inshallah, can refer back to the speech, the idea of a stratified societies, where the gap between the rich and the poor is this incredibly large, unbelievable. Stratified societies, racism, homelessness, oppression, justice, and absolute justice. Instead of medical terrorism, instead of belittling and humiliating, what have they done to the Yemeni? Why is it that the world could even be indifferent for so long? Anyhow, but you and I, we're going to go over what's happening, our responsibility, what's happening in the world right now, what are clear examples that we can give with the rest of mankind, and then after that, the solution. Now, one thing that was interesting is this. Our responsibility now is to create the Mahdawi society before the Imam returns. So this isn't only a responsibility in Iran, but outside of the borders of the Islamic Republic, we have to make these resistance communities, these Mahdawi societies, where the focus, remember, some of you remember the things that the Prophet ﷺ, his community was built on, things like justice, brotherhood, interacting with strength, mercy, ruhama bainahum, spirituality, always taking, being industrious and taking opportunities, working hard, these kind of things. And so the creating the Mahdawi society, again, that's something that we could spend time talking on. But he also talked about this being a unique test, brothers and sisters, and something that I would like to spend a little bit of time on talking about today. And then after that, inshallah, brothers and sisters, maybe a little bit more on some other akhlaq that we could be working on for our homes. One, the leader mentioned the idea of us looking out for other Shias during this time. Now, one responsibility that you and I need to talk about is how to serve mankind during these times. Mankind, our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers. What is our duty right now? This is a unique opportunity and it's not going to be here forever. How can we practically help? That's one of them. But one that the leader focused on is the idea that no Shia should be falling through the cracks right now. If you and do it with the niyyah of trying to please Imam Mahdi. I want to give you one of the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt about this. But with the niyyah of pleasing the Imam, pleasing God, hastening the reappearance, checking on one another. Your family members, your brothers and sisters, mu'mineen and mu'minat, before they come and express their need, that you check on them and you make sure that they're okay. Those of us, you take care of your own responsibilities, but those of us who can spend on others, can help others, can be at the assistance of others, can get groceries for others with the niyyah of the 12th Imam, then we should be doing that. In addition, because that's even, we do more for our mu'mineen than we do for the rest of mankind, but we have to also talk, inshallah, about the rest of mankind. So there's a concept in Islam which is known as infaq, al-infaq. Al-infaq, brothers and sisters, is targeted spending. Who are those believers who are most in need right now, who we need to ensure they don't fall through the cracks? We don't want to wake up and be mas'ul and responsible because we simply didn't care, we didn't ask, we waited till the person humiliated themselves or they begged, and then we went to address their needs. We need to be checking on these people. And I said, family members, followers of Ahlul Bayt, mu'mineen and mu'minat, and in every community, we need to be doing this. In addition, every community in the West also needs to be thinking about, but that inshallah be for another time, what can we do for mankind? That's another discussion. But right now, what can we do? And that needs to be taken up. And this is, there are people who are doing this, by the way, and they're getting the results of looking out for their neighbors. They'll know that a neighbor is self-quarantining. They'll help them. They'll provide some sort of assistance. When governments are abandoning them, Muslims are coming to their assistance for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, remember, the Muslims, the believers, your fellow brothers and sisters are the children of the Ahlul Bayt. So, I'll give you one example. It's found in our hadith that gives many good pointers, and inshallah we'll kind of move on. One of them is this, that a man came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam and he was complaining about his financial situation. He comes to the Imam and he says, look, I've got a certain burden that I'm supposed to pay in taxes. I can't afford it. It's too much. and he asks the Imam, he said that the governor of Ahwaz is a practicing Shia. He's one of your followers. He obeys you. Would you mind if you think it's appropriate to write a letter to him? Right. Sometimes you yourself aren't directly doing the help. You know some other Shia is in trouble. You go over, you talk, you call, you make that phone call, you look out for somebody, you direct them to where they can be helped. So the Imam wrote a brief letter. The letter was two lines. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The other line, Surra akhaq, please your brother, make your brother happy. Yasurrakallah, Allah will make you happy. So the man took this letter back to the governor of Ahwaz. He went and he sat down in the presence of the governor. And he says, I waited till everybody else left the room. And then after that, I came and I brought the letter. I said that there's a letter from Imam Sadiq to you. A letter from Imam Sadiq to you. You and I, just let's pause a second before we go over the rest of the story. Right now, you and I don't have Imam Mahdi writing us a letter. Think about the value of this if we do it for the sake of Allah. It's not like Imam Mahdi is writing us a letter yet. Right? That personal letter. you have the na'ib of the imam telling you what your responsibility is. And not in a na'ib that was appointed directly by the imam. You're just going based on a hadith of Ahlul Bayt. They've said the person who has these qualifications is the na'ib of the imam and he's the standard bearer. And you're obeying him with this kind of obedience. Listen to this man, the way that he was. So he said, this is a letter from Imam Sadiq. The man took the letter, he kissed the letter, and he put the letter on his eyes. He read the letter. He looked up at him. He said, what do you need? The man explained. He said, well, 10,000 in taxes. I can't. He called his secretariat. I checked the records. He said that on my behalf, from my money, he told his secretary, then pay his taxes. And what's interesting is that each one of these gifts that he would offer the guy, he would say, did I make you happy? He's trying to follow the orders of his imam. They make you happy? And the man will say, Ju'altu fidak, may I be your ransom? Yes. So he said, take the taxes from this year. I'm gonna pay. Not that I'll pay his taxes. Then he said that next year, he told his secretary, next year you write down that next year I also take care of his taxes. Then he said, he didn't stop there. In those days, they didn't have cars like us. He gave him a horse. He gave him clothes. He gave him staff, some servants, slaves to work with him. He was keep going these things. He said that this rug that I'm sitting on, he says, because I was sitting on this rug, when I got this letter from my master, I want you to take this rug that I'm sitting on and you go over and you take that also and you put it in your house. So, he said, look, after this also, if you have any needs, you come over to me, you tell me about your needs, inshallah, I'll try and take care of your needs. So the guy, a year later, months later, he goes over, he's traveling, and he comes to see Imam Sadiq alayhi salam again. And he starts telling the story about Imam Sadiq. And as he's telling the story, he says, I could see the joy in the Imam's face as I'm telling him the details. The man did this, the man did that. And then he asks the Imam, he says, it's kind of like he made you happy. And the Imam said this, E wallah. Yes, by God. Sarallah, he made Allah happy. Wa rasulah, and he made the Prophet happy. You think he made you happy? This is about us making the Imam happy, getting the grounds ready. Ruhama bainahum. Ruhama, what we can do, what we're capable of. So, one thing that we also have to be careful about, because one thing I wanted to mention as an initiative that we're trying to do here in Hadi, that needs your support, and inshallah, in other masajid, other maraqiz, we can also be doing this. You know, there's a lot of work that's going on in our community. There's humanitarian efforts that are going on. There's people who are trying to deliver groceries. There's sisters who have formed who have come together and are trying to help cook or clean homes. The people who are delivering groceries, people who are trying to provide help and assistance in many of these masajid. Masajid also are... There's some of our centers that are providing food to people. Anybody who comes, we provide food to these individuals. What the Hadi Institute would like to do is something called the Sahib al-Zaman Relief Unit, where those who are in financial need, because the leader talked about this, those who are in financial need, that they are able to go over and to talk, or maybe we know somebody who's in need, someone who's going through distress in this time. So this way, that targeted spending, those people who are really in need, those people who are really struggling, to the best of our ability to try and make it available, they can call, somebody else can call. Maybe even something might even be better if somebody else calls, because then you can talk frankly and explain the situation. But the idea of trying to provide some assistance to mu'mineen and mu'minat, this isn't all we have to do. This is a little part of what we have to do. Brothers and sisters, you may be doing this by helping out the effort in Hadi, or other maraqiz, other centers, other institutions that are providing this kind of help and assistance. One thing we want to make sure we do is not to make the person feel blessed or obliged afterwards. Right? If we're going to go over and do this, do it for the sake of Allah. Sometimes you're talking to someone who's in need. Sometimes they don't appreciate you. Sometimes they're struggling. Sometimes they expect more. But those who are really in need, those who, they're not just ruining they're struggling. There's people who are trying their best, not spending wildly, they lose their job. They're at home self-quarantining. And a mother with children, vulnerable. Some people can't go shopping. To find out who these people are, make sure that they're doing okay. The verse of Quran is a little scary if we, God forbid, do this and then after that we rub it in their face. The Quran says this, Surah Baqarah, verse number 264. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O you who believe, لَا تُبْتِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَىٰ Don't make your sadaqat and your charities batil by rubbing it in the person's face, by insulting them, by belittling them, by making them feel small. And be kalladhi, like the person, yunfiqu malahu riya'an nas. Like the person who spends his wealth to show the people riya'an nas. Wa la yu'minu billah wal yawm al-akhir. And doesn't believe in Allah and the last day. We don't want to be like that. We don't want to. So what we want to do, brothers and sisters, is to make sure that we find out those who are in need, that you and I, we try and help them. So what happens is this effort is an effort that is based in the Detroit metro area. We're trying to serve these mu'mineen and mu'minat who are here. But in other cities across the world, mu'mineen should be coming together and looking out. These marching orders now, this is a big part of this test. Man la yarham la yurham. Those who don't show mercy, Allah won't show mercy to them. A big part of this particular bala is making sure no Shias fall through the cracks and looking out for these people. This will shorten the duration of the ghibah, inshallah. So This effort is being made over here, but inshallah, it should be duplicated in other areas. Brothers, mu'mineen, mu'minat should be looking, and everybody should be looking to give what they can. Everybody wants, this is a special kind of rizq, to be allowed to do what is called muwasat, when I want for my brother what I want for myself. And I see that they're struggling, and I try and make sure that things are all right for them. So brothers and sisters, there were some other points that I wanted to share, but inshallah, that will be for another time. The idea would be to really try to help mankind, spread ma'rifah, practice Islam, go out into the danger, of course, taking full precautions. So those of us who are doctors, and I want to repeat this again, doctors, lawyers, doctors, nurses, healthcare workers, fully using these PPE kits, covering themselves, protecting themselves, and then bravely going over into the dangers and trying to rescue mankind, mu'mineen, mu'minat, and the rest of mankind. And then those of us who can, our time, our energies, volunteering, either we're calling, we're checking, we're helping, we're assisting, we're doing the groceries, cleaning the house, helping at this time where we can. This is what we get from our shuhada, from our leader. And I hope that inshallah all of us are able to do this responsibility effectively and able to shorten that the coming of the imam. And also, of course, we want to be people who, we've done our duty during this time. We've done our responsibility for the sake of Allah and not to show anybody, but just simply to organize our affairs and to make sure that we've done our responsibility. Inshallah, Allah helps us to use this window that's closing rapidly in the best way possible. The leader mentioned dua. He mentioned the idea of taking this time to talk to God directly or through the Ahlul Bayt, talking to the Ahlul Bayt, but taking this time. We don't have as many sessions, as many gatherings as we have normally, but this is a time for you and I to talk to God. This is also something that Sayyid Hasan Nasrullah mentioned that he got from the leader. He said that at one time he was going through so many difficulties in leaving the resistance over there that he was ready to step away from the movement. He went over to the leader and he was complaining. He's saying, you know, look, maybe inshallah somebody else can take the lead. I'll be the second in command. I will help and assist, but not to be the center and the focus. So the leader, he said, look, he said, at that time my beard was still black. He said that the leader told me, he said, well, look, if you are like that, then what should I be doing? Look, my beard, he said, I want to share something with you that I've seen the results of. He said, and that's when you take some time, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, alone by yourself, and you just talk to God, whisper to God, tell him what's going on. Speak to him in your own language. It doesn't have to be a dua. You're just talking to God, explaining to him, God hears, God's listening, God provides that relief, that comfort, that assistance. So one of the things that you mentioned was taking advantage of this time to do that whispering to God, talking to God, building the Mahdawi society, he says, working on ourselves and also trying to help others reform, trying to fix. We'll talk, inshallah, talk about some of these other things later, but trying to reform ourselves, trying to reform others, trying to fix those flaws. And of course, that helping believers first, but then after that, it's of course not limited to that, but actually trying to find a way that we can help mankind and do our responsibility and be those representatives of the Ahlul Bayt during this time of difficulty. But inshallah, Allah grant all of you success. May He hasten this reappearance of our Imam. May He lift this bala from all of mankind. May He keep all of you safe and healthy, inshallah. Inshallah, you're doing your exercises. If the Imam's return is close, you know, infantry, you have to run. Inshallah, so you're doing your responsibility. And hopefully, Allah accept what was said and heard in His way. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. قاف والقرآن المجيد بل عجبوا أن جاءهم منذر منهم ف فقال الكافرون هذا شيء عجيب أإذا متنا وكنا ترابا ذلك رجع بعيد قد علمنا ما تنقص الأرض منهم وعندنا كتاب حفيظ بل كذبوا بالحق لما جاءهم فهم في أمر مريج أفلم ينظروا